Amen. We just got done singing, "Our God is Able." How many of you guys believe that this morning? Amen. He is able. He is. You guys, we're in a series called Link. We're studying prayer. And I want to let you guys know that this series was thought up by a guy that about 3 years ago didn't believe in prayer. I didn't believe in prayer about 3 years ago because personal tragedy that happened, and I prayed and nothing happened. So I basically told God, I said, "You know what, God, I love you, and I love your word, and I love your church, but as for prayer, it just doesn't work, and so I'm not going to waste any more time doing it. You're going to do what you're going to do. Your will's sovereign. You're just going to do what you're going to do, and I'll just kind of do my thing. And I love you, God, but I just don't see the need in prayer." And it got to the point, it was so bad that my non-belief in prayer, when it came time to plant Catalyst, I was talking about a new church plant, Dave Birdwhistle, who I didn't even know at the time, who's a big lay leader here, sent me an email and said, "Hey, put me on the prayer list." Well, I didn't have a prayer list. I put me on the prayer list I want to pray for. I didn't even respond to it. And then he sent me another one, "Hey, put me on the prayer list." And I didn't even respond to that. Finally, he sent me an email and said, "Listen, do you not believe in prayer?" And I finally said, "Okay, if you want to pray for us, fine, but it's not going to do anything." That was how hardened I was against prayer 3 years ago. And so this series here about prayer is from someone who did not believe in prayer, didn't believe in the power of prayer, and now does. Unequivocally, without doubt, that prayer is not only real, not only relevant, but it is essential. And I am almost of the opinion that prayerlessness in the life of a Christian is a sin. That's how far I'm willing to take it. Prayerlessness in the life of a Christian is sin. That's how far I'm willing to take it. But anyway, you guys, one of the problems is that we don't know how to talk to God. And Jesus' disciples were the same way. And he said, "Hey, teach us how to pray. We don't know how to pray." And so Jesus says this in Matthew 6, 5 through 13. If you guys want to take some notes here, there's an outline on the back of your blue sheet. Please take some notes because this is going to be extremely relevant and something you can take home and apply even today. Matthew 6, 5 through 13. Jesus says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words." I'm going to stop right there. You know, when my kids come and ask me for something, they don't say, "Dad, dad, 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 give me the car. They don't do that. I'd be like, whoa, kid, your pills? Chill, okay? What do you want?" And they would say, my kids come, they say, "Hey, Dad, let's go play some soccer. Hey, Dad, let's go throw the baseball. Dad, let's go watch TV. Or Dad, let's do this." They ask me like a normal human being was. And that's what Jesus is saying. Don't keep babbling on. Don't do it. Just ask. Talk to your Heavenly Father like a person. Okay? And he goes on. "Do not be like them," he says, "for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray." When Jesus says, "Hey, you guys, this is how you should pray," maybe we should take note and look at it. Okay? He gives us the Lord's Prayer. Most of us are familiar with the Lord's Prayer. "Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, the will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Evil. That's what it is. You guys, so Jesus gives us five things that need to be in every prayer. Check this out. The first thing is that prayers should begin with praise. Should begin with praise, okay? He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed means lifted up, revered, honored, awesome is your name. Now remember, when we go to prayer, guys, we're praying to the God. We're approaching the God that thinks up things like Wolverines, thinks up things like universes. He thinks up things like galaxies the Bible says he holds galaxies in the palm of his hand. He's the guy that thinks up things like Brewster's ice cream, okay? That's the kind of God we approach. This is the God that thinks up things like, life. This is the God that controls everything in the universe and has everything in the palm of his hand, and we should stand in awe of him. When we approach God in prayer, we need to just go with a spirit of, wow, you're amazing. God, you're so absolutely, utterly amazing. You're the most amazing thing, the most beautiful thing in all creation. And you are just amazing. That's what first prayer should begin with praise. Second, prayer should add expectation. Expectation. In verse 10 of Matthew 6, Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, when you go to God in prayer, expect God to move. Come with expectation. Jesus says, listen, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth that is in heaven. In other words, he's saying, God, when you approach God, do it with expectation that your heavenly Father is everything, has all the power, that he will move in direct response to your prayer. Come with expectation. The third thing, in verse 11, prayer should have petitions and requests. And it says this in verse 11, give us today our daily bread. In other words, Jesus says, when you pray to God, you need to ask him for things. See, I always had a problem with that because here I am an American and I've got all this stuff. The Lord has blessed me so much. How could I ask for anything else? And I know a lot of you feel the same way. There's so many other big needs in this world. So many people worse off than me. I almost feel guilty asking God for things. Well, guys, Jesus says to do it. He says, when you pray like this, ask for things. Petitions and requests, because that shows faith. The fourth thing, prayer should have confessions. Verse 12 in Matthew 6, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Guys, I was painting this week out there painting everything. How many of you guys have ever redone a room in your house? Redone a room, okay? What happens? You look at that room and say, wow, this looks amazing. And then what? You walk out and, oh man, now the rest of the house looks terrible. Right? Because you've seen something great and bright and shiny and new, and all of a sudden everything else looks terrible. That's the same way I got done with that. I was like, man, this is awesome. I walk in here and I'm like, drywall. I wonder who did this drywall. I wonder who left such big waves in the, he should not be a senior pastor anywhere, And I looked at their smudges, fingernails, fingerprints on the side, and the doors were dirty. Stuff I didn't even notice before until I came face to face with something brand new. And guys, when we approach God in prayer, that's the same thing. Things that are okay in our lives until we approach God in prayer, all of a sudden we don't look so great, do we? Up against the awesome God of the universe, the awesome, perfect, purity of God, all of a sudden we don't look so great. And and our prayers should have confessions. We say, you know what, God? I'm a screw up, and I really blew it this week, and I need your forgiveness. The great thing is, he already knows what you've done. Might as well be honest with him, right? And then the fifth thing, prayers should seek God's protection. In verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. See, Jesus knew that we would be facing battles every day. We'd be facing a very tough opponent who is very real and very much wants to destroy us. If you guys don't believe that we are in a battle, why don't you look at the pictures of this video we just saw? We saw evil 10 years ago, didn't we? Yeah, absolutely. We saw absolute and total evil. And if you don't believe that that is satanic in origin, I feel for you. Guys, we're up against a foe that seeks to steal and kill and destroy. That's what the scriptures say, and we need to be praying for God's protection. So five things. We should begin with praise. We should have expectation. Number three, we should have petitions and requests. We should have confessions, and we should seek God's protection. That's the outline that Jesus gave us. This is how you pray. Guys, this is how you pray. This is how you approach God in prayer. It's how you talk to God. And after that, he shows us there are actually three types of prayer. These are the things that are in prayer. There are actually three types of prayer, and they're on different levels. He says it in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. So guys, the first thing, God says to ask, okay? That is the first level of prayer is what known as prayer is petition, asking for things, ask, okay? When we go to God, he wants us to ask for things, okay? Ask and it will be given you. That's the first level of prayer, okay? But guys, a lot of us have problems because so many times we ask for things and we don't get them. Nothing happens, right? I think everybody has experienced that. You've prayed for something and nothing happens. Well, guys, there are four things about asking that the scriptures say that we have to understand. Follow along in your outline. The first thing is that when we ask God for something, we have to ask in faith. We have to ask in faith. Matthew 21, 22 says this, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." That's what it says. Okay? Now, I want to ask you a question. Do your prayers demonstrate faith in God or a lack of it? Let me ask a question. Do your prayers demonstrate a faith in God or a lack of faith in God? Because most of us, I say, would be guilty of the "God, let me have a good day" prayer. What kind of faith does that take? A phone call from a good friend could make you a great day. Guys, if your prayers can't be answered by God and God alone, you're praying too small. Okay? You know, great illustration. There's a kid whose dad said on Wednesday, said, "Son, this Saturday, we're going to build a treehouse. We're going to build ourselves a treehouse on Saturday. Saturday morning, we're going to build a treehouse." Son says, "All right, that's great." Well, Saturday morning, the dad's in his study doing some work. All of a sudden, he sees his son. He's carrying a whole bunch of lumber out to trees. He's like, "What's the kid doing?" And the kid brings out saws, hammers, and nails, screws, you know, everything, and starts putting all this stuff out. And he calls his wife over. The man calls his wife over and says, "Honey, what's our son doing?" And the wife says very plainly, "You told him you built a treehouse today. And he believed you. And he's out there getting ready for it." And the father looks at all the work that he has to do. He looks out the window. He gets up and he goes out there and builds a treehouse with his son. Now, why did he do that? He did that because of the faithfulness of his son. His son took his word as true, as honest, and began to do things in preparation for that. He asked in faith and he believed, okay? And that motivated the father to action. Here at Catalyst, we have made a statement. We want to grow. We want to reach non-Christian people. We want to bring people into God's kingdom and set them free with the grace and the love of God. And we pray that you would bring people and grow this church. And because we believe that he's going to answer that, we knocked out the wall there. We expanded our place to make room for more people. We're going to three services here so that God's basically what we're doing. We pray that prayer in faith. And we're praying and we believe that God will answer that. So our actions lined up with our prayers. Guys, we have to ask in faith. Second thing is that we must be in a relationship with Christ. First, after we have to ask in faith. Second, we must be in a relationship with Christ. We're not in a relationship with Christ. There's no expectation that you should have any answers to your prayers, and this is why. When God answers a prayer, he basically gives you a spiritual blank check. When he answers your prayer, he gives you a blank check, literally. And he has to be able to trust you with that. Let's say that you're single and you're praying for that, "God, give me that perfect spouse." And God gives you that perfect spouse. Okay? Well, what does that say? First of all, he's giving you a child of his to marry, to treat, to love, to cherish. And God doesn't micromanage. When he gives you a blessing, he said, "It's yours. You have free will as you please." So guys, he has to be able to trust us with what he is giving us if he's to give us anything. Guys, John 15:7 says this, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You remain in me. I know you. I trust you. Therefore, I can trust you with things, with blessings." Guys, I would not give very many people a blank check, but I give my wife a blank check because I trust her. I'd give some very close friends a blank check because I trust them, but I wouldn't give just to anybody. And that's the way God is. We have to be in relationship with Christ for our prayers to be answered. Number three, we must have the right motivation. James 4:3 says this, "When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." Plain and simple, guys, many prayers are lifted up straight out of greed, selfishness, or ego. And God is not going to answer those prayers, or he'll just say no. God will don't expect anything if you're asking with the wrong motivation. We pray to bring God's will on this earth, not to make ourselves more comfortable. Number four, we must ask in accordance with the will of God. Okay? 1 John 5:14 through 15 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have what we asked of him." We have to ask in accordance with God's will. Remember, Jesus said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When you pray for things that are in accordance with the will of God, then he sends them. That's the way it works. But the great thing about petition and asking for God, guys, get this, is that God does not give us everything we ask for. Do you know that? That's the great thing. Do you know why that's great? Because you say, that doesn't sound very good. That's amazing. This is why. Because God has everything. He owns everything. He has an unlimited store of everything. And he doesn't bless us as we, he doesn't answer us as we ask. He answers us out of his abundance. The scriptures say that he can do immeasurably more than anything we could ever ask or imagine. And guys, when we ask for God, he answers us out of his abundance. When these four things are met, when we ask in faith, when we are in relationship with Christ, when we ask with the right motivation, and we ask with in accordance with the will of God, he blesses us more than we could ever ask or imagine. Guys, if your prayers can be answered by something other than God, you're not praying big enough. You're not praying big enough. So let's start praying big. That's the first level of prayer. It's petition, of asking things. And it's deep and profound, and we're supposed to do it. I don't minimize that at all. But the levels of prayer get deeper as you mature in your relationship with Christ. When you are a person that is very new to the faith, or you're immature in your faith, you pretty much stop at the ask level. You stop at the prayer petition level. Okay, but there's a deeper level as you mature in Christ. There's a second level of prayer that God calls us to. The second, it's called prayer is devotion. Prayer is devotion. The second level of that is devotion. Philippians 3, 7 through 8, the Apostle Paul, someone who is very mature in his walk with Christ, says this: whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, this is it. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. Guys, a sign of spiritual maturity is moving from always asking to always abiding, always being with God, realizing that prayer is more than just getting things. Prayer is close, intense fellowship with God. Where you spend hours in prayer, don't ask for a thing. You just hang out. You guys are familiar with King Solomon. And he was asked, Solomon, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. But his father David, who was known as a man after God's own heart, was asked the same question. David, what do you want? And David said, you can have everything else, God. I just want you. Here in Psalm 27:4, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. God, I just want to see you. I just want you. That's it. You can have all the riches, all the power, all everything. I just want you. That's the second level of prayer. You guys are familiar with the story of Daniel. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. You guys know why Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? Because there's a decree that by King Darius that only anybody who prayed to anybody other than King Darius would be thrown into the lion's den. And what most of us would say, okay, 30 days. All right, I can go 30 days without a prayer. Shoot, I've been living 37 years without prayer, so I might as well go 30 more days. And I'll just hang out. But what Daniel did, when he heard the order, he went upstairs and he prayed. See, Daniel would rather have spent a night in the lion's den than miss a day of prayer. That wasn't because he was asking for things. Because he was in intense, close, personal friendship with God. He said, I can't spend 30 days without my best friend. Can't do it. And I won't do it. I'd rather spend a night in the lion's den than miss my hangout time with God. Lazy Christians aren't willing to seek. They enter into the fullness. They never enter on the fullness of blessing that God has advised them to enter. You guys, and this whole prayers devotion thing is something that I've been working on because I'm not quite there yet, and I'm on a journey. But the best way I can describe it is a few quick examples. The movie Bruce Almighty. How many of you guys seen that? Isn't that a great movie? Morgan Freeman is God, and he's a janitor, and he's mopping the floor. He tells Bruce, I'll be here. When are you going to be here? And Bruce says, 7 o'clock. Laughs it off. Morgan Freeman says, okay, fantastic. So he's waiting there at 7 o'clock, not wanting anything other than to hang out with Bruce because he loves him. And that was a great picture of God. It's a great picture of God. Mother Teresa, who was renowned for her prayer life, was being interviewed by Ted Koppel. And Ted Koppel says, your prayer life is amazing. When you pray, what do you say? And Mother Teresa said, well, I don't say anything. I just listen. And Ted Koppel says, okay, you listen. Well, what does God say? And Mother Teresa said, he doesn't really say anything. He just listens. And if you don't understand that, I can't describe it to you. I thought to myself, man, what an amazing relationship she has with God. They can just sit for hours, not say a word, and just enjoy being together. When Elsie was about 2 years old, my little daughter, I was going into her room to say goodnight. I heard her laughing. Now, Elsie laughs all the time. I don't know why. She just laughs at stuff. So I didn't think anything of it. But I walk in, and she's just dying laughing. She's laying in bed dying and laughing. And I said, what are you laughing at? She goes, oh, don't worry, Dad. I'm just sharing a joke with God. And I thought to myself, you know, I've seen my daughters with friends that spend the night. You know, they get in the room and they just giggle and they laugh and they're having such a great time together. You can hear them through the door. And I thought to myself, is that the kind of relationship that my daughter has with God? They're just in there laughing like friends. And as I walked out of there, I said, when was the last time I told God a joke? I bet he'd love to hear a joke. After all the stuff that gets thrown at him every single day, after all the suffering that he sees every single day, I bet he'd love to hear a joke. I bet he would. And I walked out of there with a new respect for God. When was the last time you told God a joke? You tell your friends jokes all the time, don't you? When was the last time you told God a joke? Guys, on Thursday morning, God woke me up at 4:30 in the morning. I don't wake up at 4:30 in the morning, okay? I didn't even know God was up at 4:30 in the morning, okay? But he was. He woke me up, literally. He said, you know, he called me to prayer. And I went downstairs. And guys, I'm not a prayer warrior. I'm really not, okay? I have trouble with 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, if I spend more than 10 minutes in prayer, I mean, I'm singing songs in my head, the days, you know, things that I have to do, a million distractions. I'm like the poster child for the ADD prayer, okay? That's who I am. I'm not a prayer warrior. God called me away, and he basically just wanted to spend time with me. It's almost like he was saying, you know, Dave, this is our time together. I want to hang out with you. I just want to sit here because the day hasn't started yet, and I just want to hang out with you because I love you. And by the time I got done praying, I looked up. It was 6:30 in the morning, the longest I've ever spent in prayer, 2 hours. Felt like 2 minutes because I was enjoying such amazing fellowship time with God. And guys, I didn't ask for a thing. I just enjoyed being with God. It's the best day of my life. It's amazing. Guys, what we're talking about here is a deep personal connection with God that fills every void, every longing that most of us will never experience because we never ever take the next step in our faith because we're lazy and we never take the time to invest in deep devotional prayer where we don't ask for anything. We just hang out with God. Try it. It's amazing. And the third level, guys, after asking, which is very, very important, I don't minimize that at all, and after the devotion, hanging out with God, the third level of prayer is where it starts to get, where the rubber hits the road. It's called prayer is intercession. Intercession. That's the third level. Intercession is praying for God's will to be done on earth. Okay, this is what gets me fired up. This is where we begin to pray that things are as God intends them to be in our homes, in our families, in our places of business, in our church, on our teams, everywhere. That's where we pray that God's will be done. Jesus prayed it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The definition of heaven is a place where things are as God intends them to be. Okay? That's the definition of heaven. And when we pray God's will on this earth, basically we are praying that things are as God intends them to be here. But before we can get to this level of prayer, guys, we have to so closely identify with God that what breaks the heart of God breaks our hearts. That's where we have to be true intercessors, to be prayer warriors, to be people of prayer that bring about the will of God on this earth. We have to so closely identify with God that what breaks his heart breaks our hearts. Guys, we saw 10 years ago, like I said, we saw the face of evil 10 years ago, didn't we? 10 years ago, that was evil. And the actions of Muhammad Atta and the other 18 hijackers broke the heart of God. And the deaths of those 3,000 people broke the heart of God. And guys, when we identify with God, it breaks our hearts too. And we begin to pray that what breaks the heart of God does not happen anymore. When we identify with God, we have a realization of spiritual authority. Now, the charismatics and the Pentecostals get this. I don't think the other Christians do. that God has given us spiritual authority to exercise on this planet. He says this in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth." Back then, salt was used as a preservative. It kept meat from spoiling. You might want to say salt had authority over the bacteria. You might want to say that because it kept the bacteria from doing its stuff, from spoiling meat. In the same way, you have been given spiritual authority over the things in this world that would destroy God's creation. You have been given spiritual authority. That's what it is. I don't think we realize it. So we need to begin praying in that authority over the things that would destroy this earth, would destroy our families, would keep God's will from happening. Let me give you some examples. A rebellious child. If you are a believer in Christ, you are a child of God. God has given you spiritual authority over the things that would cause your children to rebel. Pray and exercise your spiritual authority over your children. If you are a child of God, you have been given spiritual authority over the things that cause adultery and destroy marriages in this world. So pray. Pray for healthy marriages. Pray against the things that would cause people to commit adultery and cause husbands and wives to be apart. If you are a child of God, you have been given spiritual authority over problems at work, problems at church, problems in the family, whatever it is. You have spiritual authority over that, and you have been called to exercise that spiritual authority over those things that would destroy that. Guys, we need to realize the amazing power that God has given his children. Let me tell you, one of the funniest things that ever happened, Sam was 1 year old, and I was coaching middle school soccer. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if you approach a group of 16 or 17 teenagers, it'd be a little intimidating, okay, even as an adult. Sam was 1 year old. I was coaching, and Rachel pulls up in the van, and I run to the van. I get Sam out. He's 1 year old, about this tall. I'm holding him. And Sam is, you know, happy-go-lucky and smiling and everything. I walk up. I'm going to introduce him to the team. I'm carrying him, and I walk up, and all of a sudden, Sam sees the team, and he does this. He goes, and I mean, he glares at him. Like, he had the look in his eyes like, "I'm going to take you out." And it was so funny. The reaction of my team was like, "Whoa, I can't believe this. Whoa." And I thought to myself, "Sam, you're 1 year old. There's 16 teenagers here. What are you thinking? You couldn't take these guys out." And all of a sudden, I thought, why was he looking at them that way? Because his dad was holding him. And he had faith in his dad that his dad could take them all out. And therefore, he looked at these guys and glared at them and said, "You can't take me down because I got my dad." And in the same way, guys, if you're a child of God, you look at these things that would destroy God's creation. You look at these things that would destroy your home. You look at these things that would destroy this nation or destroy your life, and you glare at them because your dad can take them out. You have been given spiritual authority to take them out. So let's start praying. Let's start walking in confidence in prayer. My favorite story about prayer, guys, about one of my best friends in high school and college. He was an atheist. And some of you guys may have heard this story. I don't care. I love it. He was an atheist. And when I told him I was going into ministry, he said, "You know, that's a bunch of BS." And you know, I learned a few new cuss words when I talked to him about that. Over the next 3 or 4 years, we had a bunch of conversations about God, about the Christian faith. I could see him beginning to be broken down and surrendering his life to Christ. Well, finally, one night, while I was on the phone with him, and he said, "You know what? I believe everything in the Bible is true. Nothing inspires me like the Bible. Nothing inspires me like God. I know that it's the truth." And I said, "Well, do you want to become a Christian now? You want me to pray with you?" He goes, "No, I'm just not ready." And I said, "Okay," hung up the phone. And I said, "Rachel, come over here." And we just knelt down in our living room. And I said, "Lord, I just pray that he will not be able to sleep until he accepts you as Lord and Savior." And I went to sleep. And the next morning, his mom calls me on the phone, says, "Eric is really sick, and he has a soccer game tonight. Could you play for him?" And I said, "Sure, I'd be happy to, but I just talked to him last night. You know, what's wrong with him?" She said, "Well, here, I'll let you talk to him." And he sounded like death warmed over. I said, "Man, what's going on?" He goes, "Man, it's really strange that right after I got off the phone with you, my tooth started hurting. And it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse, and I did not sleep at all last night." I'm like, "Oh, gosh, are you serious? Wow. I didn't mean for you to do that, God. And I said, well, did you have any chance to talk about what we talked about, last night? He goes, that's all I could think about. He said, you know what's really cool? About 4 o'clock in the morning, I just surrender. I said, okay, God, I'm done fighting you. I'm done fighting you. I surrender whatever. I guess I want to become a Christian. I don't know what that means, but I just want to follow you. I'm going to turn my whole life over to you because what I'm doing just ain't working. And I'm in such misery. I'm in such agony right now. I just turn my life over to you. A couple years later, he enrolled in Asbury Seminary. He graduated 2 years ago or this past year. Now he's a pastor in Houston, Texas. Because of the power of prayer, because God gave me as his child spiritual authority over the things that would wreck his life. And I exercised it. And guys, God is calling you to do the same thing, to exercise the spiritual authority in prayer that God has given you as his precious child. What about it, church? Let's start praying. And guys, if there is anyone in here today, you've been saying, man, this prayer thing sounds pretty good, but I'm not a child of God, and I need this. I need that deep, close relationship with God. We will pray for you right now. If you want to accept Christ, if you want to have your life changed for the better, if you want to move into being a child of God, let us know. We will pray for you, and we will welcome you into the family of God. Let us know as we are worshiping, as we take communion, let God work on your heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the amazing thing that you've given us in prayer, the amazing gift. And Lord, I think that we have just been in ignorance. We don't know how to pray, and we didn't know about your power. We didn't know about the authority that you give us in prayer. And so, Lord, I pray that today that everyone in here, first of all, would be in relationship with you, would love you and call you Lord and Savior. Second, I pray that there would be people that would rise up to pray for your will to be done on this earth. And that we would claim that spiritual authority that you give us to be salt. Lord, we love you, and we pray that you would continue to bless us as we worship you. In your awesome name we pray. Amen.